Would you turn your Bible with me to the 1 Samuel chapter 27? Many of us heard the phrase, I am at the bottom of the valley of shadow of death. Or somebody would say, I am on the mountaintop with the Lord. Have you heard those phrases? Maybe you were in there. It means that you are doing well or you are going through a horrible time. David was going from one mountaintop experience to the bottom of the valley of shadow of death. I'm sure you can feel the same way when in your life. In chapter 23, what did he do? When he saved the city of Keilah from the Philistine, and they were, instead of saying thank you and giving him a big feast, what did they do? They were going to turn him over to Saul. He had to run for his life again. He was in the valley. In chapter 24, David had a golden opportunity to kill Saul and remove this cat and mouse game once and for all in the cave of Adullam. But he felt that God is telling him not to do that. He was riding high on the mountaintop. Chapter 25. In previous chapter, he displayed tremendous humility and patience and grace. But when he was insulted by a fool with a simple insult, he flew off his handle. What did he do? He ordered 400 men to mount up and go after this one single fool. That was a good odd, wasn't it? 401 versus 1. Yet God was gracious to stop him and from the revenging in his own hand through the quick-thinking, beautiful woman Abigail. David was the mouth of the valley. In chapter 26, again, David, bless you, David had an opportunity to kill Saul, but he chose not to. Again, he was on the top of the mountain. All these ups and downs, and there was a constant during this time, he was a constant communion with God. God protected him, kept him from doing anything wrong. But now, we see something different. He is listening to himself. Let's stop and pray. Father, we come to you and seeking your ways because you are wise God. You loved us while we are not even good to you. We do our own things a lot of times, listening to ourselves instead of listening to you and your word, and demanding our ways most often. Father, we don't want to be like we were before, but we want to be like Jesus, who commune with you throughout the night and be obedient to you completely in all his ways. Teach us with the example of King David that we may learn not to do this kind of thing. Father, we are asking your will be done and your name will be exalted high above all things through our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 27, verse 1, please. And David, put number one, please, on the line next forward, said in his heart. And put number two, now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. Number three, there is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of Philistines, and Saul will despair of me to seek me anymore in any part of Israel. So I shall escape out of his hand. Stop there, please. Okay, give me your interpretation.
His own voice, his own heart instead of...
What does it mean to you then?
It means you got to seek God before you make any decision.
Good. So you're going to do that, right? All right. Who else? Yes, Mikey.
Well, of course, I'm king.
Okay. What does it mean to Mikey?
You should do the opposite, you know, have patience.
So make it into your way.
Well, the Lord may promise you an item or yourself out of it. Abraham was promised descendants will be stars in the sky. True, in the end.
Okay. Very good. Yes, Anna?
He's thinking because...
Okay, stop. Interpretation, not observation. Okay, make it into as Anna's.
Yeah. Well, I know I had to go away, David, to be king. He's saying, someday by the hand of Saul. So that is in contradiction to what God had promised him. It's going to show me right away that checking up against the word right on the path.
Okay. While she's saying that, the verse came to my mind. I forgot where it was. Test all spirit. Remember that from the New...
God, yeah.
Yeah. Anything that comes along, put it against the word. Test all spirit. Good points. All right, my interpretation is listening to our own idea instead of God's word is absolutely wrong because our sinful nature is bound to do wrong. Amen? All right, I see three problems. Number one, what he said, I should put the numbers in there. David's problem start at the sad in his heart. Sad in his heart. As we notice the beginning of the chapter 27, we find him talking to himself. Does it mean that talking to yourself is wrong? No, of course not. Is it unbiblical? No. But what I mean is instead of asking for guidance from the Lord, he is counseling himself with his own reason, his own agendas. You see that David has been in this wilderness for a long time and being chased by the Saul. He is tired and weary. That's the precise time when the devil comes after us. It is important for us to be refreshed through the Word of God and close fellowship with God and godly people regularly. And that's why it is important to be with the other people. And can you have your own time with God? Absolutely. But also the Word of God said, do not forsake the assembly of God's people. Second problem we see is that he said, now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. Right? And he's forgetting God's promises and faithfulness. If he relying on his own ideas is not bad enough, he's completely ignored the promise of God for him in chapter 16. What happened in chapter 16? Can somebody tell me? Hello? Don't remember. Chapter 16, Samuel came by, and what at Bethlehem? Anointed him with the oil, did he not?
Yes.
And then some legend was said that he whispered into the ear of David, you will be a king. And that's from God. But he chose to forget. Did he actually forget? No. He chose to forget. Seeing his situation from his own limited and point of view, David missed God's perspective and lost his trust in him. All of a sudden, the Saul, looks bigger than Goliath and more menacing than before. That's how the devil operates. He wants us to ignore the God's promise and the faithfulness for us. God promised us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. What else does he promise? He promised that he will provide all our need according to his riches in glory. Does he not? Yes? No.
Yes.
And God promised that no one can snatch us out of his strong, mighty hands. And God promised that he would give us life more abundantly. And his promise goes on and on and on. But the devil wants us to forget all that. I'm sure you heard me quoting this. Dietrich Bonhoeffer from the World War II, a German preacher, said, sin does not make us to denounce God, but our sin makes us to forget God. All of a sudden, when we are in the midst of the sin, in the middle of about to sin against God, we no longer remember him. But the devil wants us to forget all those wonderful promises and turn our eyes upon the circumstance and our own strength. It doesn't take a whole lot for us to get depressed, and sometimes becomes suicidal if we listen to him and ourselves. Another good example, Peter. When Peter and the rest of the disciples were in the boat, in the raging Sea of Galilee, remember that? And Jesus was coming to them as if he was going to pass by him on the water. They were scared. And Jesus, what did he say? Jesus, it is I. Fear not, it is I. And Peter said, being a spokesperson of the disciples, if it is you, tell me to come to you. What did Jesus say?
Come.
So he got out of the boat, walking on the word of Jesus, not on the water, until he started to see the surrounding. Just as I said, when we start to see our circumstance, all of a sudden we forget the promise of God. And that's when he started to sink. Lord, help. And the Lord pulled him out. You little of faith. Why did you doubt? Problem number three. Moving in with the enemy of God. David not only was following his idea, ignoring the promise of God, but also he decided it would be safer for him to go into enemy territory than staying with God. That really makes sense. So if you are attacked by Satan, it's really good thing for you to just hang around in the enemy's den, right? Can we come up with this kind of a dumb logic? Yes, we can, because we've done that before. You're in a financial situation, so what do? Why don't I borrow money by going to this cash-in place with an interest rate of 40%? Higher? Okay, she knows it. Not because she owe money to them, because she handled the bankruptcies. Her client.
They got a commercial out now, Jun Ho. It says, if you're alive and breathing and got a vehicle, we'll give you money. Yeah.
I have my own example, not me. When I was working for a company, there was a single mom. She said that she's a Christian, with the children. Since she cannot make ends meet quite well with the two kids, she decided to move in with this man who is an unbeliever. And then, you know, most of the time they don't get married. But somehow they got married. First sin, she getting hooked up with an unbeliever. Second thing, she had married. And then she went through horrible marriage. Went through divorce again. Did you notice the progression here? Beginning, it's a subtle, very subtle. He's thinking to himself, almost innocently, and with a simple thought of consulting his own idea. Second step, ignoring God's promises and faithfulness. And third step, deciding to move into the enemy's territory to be with them. Okay, keep your finger in right there, chapter 27. Go to Psalm chapter 1, please. I know some of you already thought about this chapter. And for this thing, it's the opposite the way, but here's the thing. Blessed is the man, happy is the man who walked not in the counsel of the ungodly. Did you get that? Would you underline walked not? Underline that. And second step, nor stand in the path of sinner. Underline nor stands. And third step, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Did you notice progression? Walk, stand, and sitting. Who did that? Anyone remember? In the New Testament? One of the Jesus' disciples?
Judas?
No. Peter.
That's right.
The day before, the night before the Jesus crucifixion, he walked, followed Jesus from the distance. Mm-hmm. When he was taken to the house of a high priest, he followed them in the distance, walk, and then he stood around this fire, and pretty soon he was sitting there warming himself with the enemies. Isn't that true?
Mm-hmm.
So what is the prevention of this? Don't walk with them. Don't even go near them. Don't get into the enemy's territory.
Doesn't it say in God's word, have no fellowship, no fruitful works of darkness?
Yep. And also the same word says they have nothing to do with the evil. Verse 2, back to the chapter 27. Then the David arose and went over with the 600 men who were with him to Achish, the son of Maok, the king of Gath. Would you underline, with the 600 men who were with him? So David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, each man with his household, and David with his two wives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelite, Retris, and Abigail, the Carmelitess, and the Nabal's widow. What do you see here? Talk to me. Counselor? Keep your enemies close? No, that ain't right.
I like that.
What do you see?
He gave into his thoughts.
Huh?
He gave into his thought.
No, make it as a Gary.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Gary.
We do that. We stumble that way. Especially in the Lord, if we're in the Lord. We'll stumble that way if we go and do the things that we're thinking. If we follow through with it. But if we don't, like you were saying earlier, if we don't and remain where we're at and not go there, then everything will be just fine. But instead, being human, we follow our own thoughts and we get in trouble.
Okay. Hold on. I want you to go back. What I said, emphasize. David arose and went over with
600.
Always men.
600 men. No, not always men. And each man with his household. All right, Anna.
So
make it as yours, not... Don't make an observation.
So, if I begin into sin, I'm going to want some company to spread it all around. So, I can not be alone in my own sin, but I can just take all the whole crowd with me.
What you're saying is the misery loves a company, right?
Like you can get lost in the crowd, so you're not going to stand out. But he was a leader, right? So, doesn't the Bible say there's a higher standard for leaders?
Yes. James, Book of James.
If you're a leader, you better watch out that you don't take your followers with you if you're going down the wrong path. Pastors of the churches that don't preach the word and their congregation down the wrong path. But you know, how come not one single man, okay, or any of the people in the household of the 600 men said anything to David like you're being stupid?
Especially Abigail, who was the intelligent one, his wife.
Makes you wonder.
Okay, who else? Yes, Roger.
Don't return to the same place or situation that God does not want you to be. Referring back to 1 Samuel 21, 10 through 15, when David went there initially to that same place and then acted as a fool to escape from the Philistines.
Good. I'm glad you remembered what happened in chapter 21. Okay, how about this? Our sin not only affects us, but also those who are around us. Mm-hmm. The ones especially whom we care about. And I mentioned about the leaders. Yes, leaders, when the leaders fall, it causes a lot of havoc. But what about you? Just consider yourself. What if I'm the one who is a backslidden? Do you think that will affect some other people in the church? Mm-hmm. Or my husband, my wife, or my kids? And especially the one who looked at you as a Christian, and all of a sudden they say, oh, so is this what the Christians do? Folks, none of us live only to ourselves, nor does our death only affect ourselves. Additionally, the result of our sin can reach to many people around us. Carried along in the wake of the David's choice were the people, about 2,000 of them most dear to him. Day in, day out, they worked together, fought together. Now here, they have been rolled up in one category. Why nobody say anything? I don't know. Maybe they got just tired of the whole situation. Maybe they just want to live in peace for a while.
Well, they didn't know David's thought. He didn't share it.
But until they go into the Achish at the Gath, now they know
so
there's
they just follow their commander.
Yeah. Gath is the hometown of Goliath and center of pagan idolatry. This is some of the God's vilest enemy mentioned in chapter 21. And David and follower made home. Previously, Achish despised David. He's a crazy guy. But now that he has 6,000 warriors, it's not something he would sneeze at. And as a commander of an impressive guerrilla army, and Achish probably thought that any enemy of Saul is a friend of his. Friendship with Achish, however, come at the price. Go down to verse 4, please. And it was told that Saul had David had fled to Gath, so he sought him no more. One thing worked for the David, right? Then David said to Achish, if I have now found a favor in your eyes, let him give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there. For why should your servant dwell in the royal city with you? Verse 6. So Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Therefore Ziklag had belonged to the kings of Judah to this day. Now the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistine was 1 full year and 4 months, 16 months. Stop there for me, please. No, give me your interpretation, please. I had some food that I don't know much about, and starting to hitting my chest. Yeah, it's not your fault. I'm the one who ate. Nobody put the gun on my head to eat. It looked good, so I chowed down.
It was just a
lot. Huh? Yeah. It's not the hot dog that caused a problem. It's my stupid body that caused a problem.
God made it. It's not
God made a good one. Probably I'm the one who caused that problem.
I blame it on
you. Sure.
See you,
yes, Anna.
He's getting into sin, so I guess when you start, watch out. He's sort of like he's given the kid.
Okay. Who else? Anyone? Explain a little, please.
He humbles himself.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me a town so I don't have to be in your presence. I guess that the king thought it was also a good idea that a military band could live close by, but yet far enough away from me.
Okay, what does it mean to you?
Just don't lie to your enemy and let him. He's deceiving the enemy the same as he's deceiving himself.
Okay. Pushing, but yes. Anna again.
Your sin
going
for a minute.
Okay.
So he's leaving. He's a father, not they worship. So Kim, going back to, or that area in Gath, to bow down before someone that he's already shown that he's more powerful than them. It leaves the option for them to say, hey.
What are you saying is that keeping up for our enemies to have an opportunity to bless me, God? Good. All right, even the Saul knew that he's not supposed to be in the enemy's territory. Yet, David did. When we do something wrong, by the way, my own interpretation is that the devil does not settle with the temptation ahead of us. He wants to enslave us again and again. When we do something wrong, it brings a reason for others to make fun or to blaspheme our God's name. As a matter of fact, that this should be the most fearful things of all Christians should consider. Any of you guys know the guy named Joshua Harris? Young guy, he's 40 years old. I know to you, then, to the young lady, that 40 years is ancient, but to the rest of us, 40 is young. Joshua Harris was a pastor, and he's a well-known author of the book called I Kiss the Dating Goodbye.
Oh,
last week, he denounced Christianity. And in other words, he kissed Christianity goodbye. And he even apologized to the LGBTQ, whatever that, all that plus, whatever, alphabet soup community, for his strong view. I have my own reason, I have my own opinion about him, but that gives an opportunity for the enemy to denounce the name of God and blaspheme. Go back to verse 5, please. Then David said to Achish, if I have found a favor in your eyes, let him give me a place in some town in the country, then I may dwell there, for why should your servant dwell in the whole royal city with you? Since when the enemy become the master, when he, this David, became a servant of the enemy? Folks, when we sin against God, it's one thing for us to stumble and fall and come back to God and repent, make it right with God. But if we dwell in that sin, instead of repenting, we become slave to the sin. We become slave to the Satan again. I'm not saying the person's salvation was lost, but we get controlled by the Satan. Are you with me?
Back when I was younger, working with all the guys that I worked with, they would always stop, get a beer and stuff. In the beginning, I would, after a period of time, I started doing guys for a few minutes.
Does Mary know about this?
Yes.
She does now. During this dark time of David, there's not a psalm written. There's not a song or prayer written by David. Go down to verse 8, please. And David and his men went up and raided the Geshurite and Gozite and Amalekite. And for those nations were the inhabitants of the land from of old. As you go to the shore, even as far as the land of Egypt, whenever David attacked the land, he left neither man nor woman alive, but took away the sheep and oxen, and the oxen and the donkey and the camel and the apparel, returned and came to Achish. Then Achish would say, where have they made a raid today? David would say, against the southern area of Judah. Against the southern area of that name, and against the southern area of the Kenite. David would save neither man nor woman alive to bring news to Gath, saying the lest they should inform on us, saying that thus David did. And thus was that his behavior all the time he dwelt in the country of the Philistine. Verse 12. So Achish believed David, saying, he had made the people of Israel utterly abhor him, therefore he will be my servant forever. Stop there, please. Okay, Anna, would you go see Karen?
Sorry?
Go see Karen if Karen is okay. Thank you. Okay. All right, give me your interpretation, please. What do you see here? Hook, line, and sinker. Okay, what does it mean to Jerry? No, make it to you. Make it as yours. I. Make it as I.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, who else? What do you see? Do you see any pattern of what David is doing? Do you see a pattern?
Supposedly, the enemies of Israel have been saying that he's attacking Israel. So he basically lied.
Okay. Again.
So in your own words, your honesty has been...
You mentioned honesty. Does it mean that David is deceiving?
Yes, he's deceiving the king. And he said he's attacking southern, or he's attacking probably his friends, attacking the enemies of Israel.
Good. What would you call this kind of life?
Hypocritical.
Exile.
Deceitful.
Look at the title.
Double life.
Okay.
He was forcing all his people.
Very good. Very good. Living double life brings forth a constant deception and eventual tragedy. To demonstrate his loyalty to the Hebrews, David and his men attacked Judah's enemy, like a Amalekite, Geshurite, and Girzite. But he took anything the valuable, sheep, oxen, donkeys, camels, and apparel. I'm sure the people of Judah was happy, but what would he do when it comes to time to report to Achish? What did he do? He lied. Exactly. Christians typically think of falling away from the Lord is backsliding, right? It's engaging in a gross sin. That person, if somebody sinned terribly, we would say that person is fallen away from God. Perhaps they used to come to church, and they stopped coming to church. And now he's sitting in the bar, and drinking, and plastered. And we would say, yeah, that person is backslidden. Is that the only way? Mm-mm. Go to Revelation chapter 2, please. We're in the back. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. I know your works, your labor, and your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. Are you there yet?
Yes.
Okay. And you have attested those who say that they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. Verse 3, and you have persevered and have a patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your
first love.
Would you underline, you have left your first love. May we never be. Remember therefore that from where you have fallen, repent and do the first work, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Stop there, please. We rarely think of someone who is still sitting in the pew of Sunday morning as someone who has fallen. They must be right with the Lord, we think, because I still see them at the church doing all these things that Christians are supposed to do. But don't be fooled. Look at the Revelation chapter 2. Jesus tells the church of Ephesus, you have persevered and have patience, have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. In verse 3 and 4. Realize this, folks. You can sit in the pew and be fallen because you have withdrawn from the passion that you once had for God. Am I making sense? I think I mentioned this to you. I'm sorry. Pastor Chuck Smith, the founder, the late founder of the Calvary Chapel, said, if you are not closer to God than yesterday, you have backslidden. So true. May I change the slide? This is an important point for us to understand. Losing our first love is at the root of all sin. If we have fallen, repent and return to the passion we once had. To protect himself, David skirted the truth. Did he go raid a different town? Yes, he did. Did he go up to the southern Judah? No. Probably he would start going to the southern Judah and veered left or right. And somehow he made the Achish to believe that he was doing the right thing for Achish. Though he was attacking the enemy of Israel, he was nothing more than armed robber and a murderer. He killed everybody in the village to keep his lie going. From the God's anointed future king to now, he is a just simple, profit-driven murderer and robber. How can you fall like that? Easy. Walking away from God, nothing is a limit. David was lying to Achish. I'm sure that David had to tell his men either to keep their mouth shut for his lie or play along with him. In other words, his compromise was making others sin with him and for him. Another good example is, husband is doing the bad things, getting drunk and doing dopes, and wife, when she comes to the church, and people say, where is so-and-so? Oh, he's worked hard, he's sleeping. Can that happen? Yeah, very much. I see that in our church. And you're thinking, who's that? I'm not going to tell you. Application number one. Oh, no, before I go, it's your turn again. Give me your application. From what we studied, what we talked about. No application yet? Okay. Yes.
Hold on.
Anna. You mean being accountable? Okay. Folks, we have used this accountability a lot, that word, right? Keeping accountability. Do you know keeping accountability and only goes as far as you want to be honest? Mm-hmm. How do I know? Because I was supposed to be friend of mine, the pastor up in the Wine Mountains, he's supposed to be accountable to me. He lies through his teeth. That's why only amount he wants to be accountable. Anybody wants to be accountable without the honesty, the accountability is nothing. All right, who else has an application for me?
When you're done.
Speak up.
I disagree with the whole interpretation of the whole thing, so I want yours on there.
Okay.
It doesn't mean that there's not different views. But there's some things that I think in the way I observed it and the interpretations that you know are correct and they are applicable. However, a different view.
What is your different view?
Well,
make it short.
Both David Gusick, Chuck Smith, yourself, view this as a failure in faith on David. Matthew Henry starts out with a quote that he says, this is prevalence of David's fear, which was affected of the effect of the weakness of his faith. Yet Matthew Henry has a different view where he states how prudent his decisions are throughout this chapter. And it starts off with at the beginning where he says, I'm going to get killed by Saul.
Mm-hmm.
Which on the surface, you're seeing that, yeah, he is making that statement, which is as Christians who have faith in God and have to walk among the ungodly, how does a man who says he's the anointed man and as long as I've been with him, he's been trying to kill me and I'm going to be king? So how do I live a life where I don't have to engage Saul and have Saul engage me and have the experience of having to check his men to say, no, you will not touch God's anointed. Let me get out of there. I have to get away from Saul. And the decision, which is really sad, is that the word of a Philistine is better than the word of an Israelite. In other words, the word of this king south of Judah, the lands of Judah, is better held than the king's Saul. So he does something that to me is more powerful in his faith. I am safer because I'm going to be king in the camp of the enemy than I am in the camp of my friends. She said it started, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. So now he's in the camp, but he's not going in there slobbering now. He's coming with strength, and then he humbles himself. Before this king, he does this. Why don't you give me my own land out there, Ziklag, and give me my own land for what is perceived. I don't know what David was thinking, but you're a pagan town, and I don't like seeing what you've got. I worship my God, and I want free worship of my God, so give me my own town. And to this day, that town is the southern border of that kingdom, the Judah, and remains so.
Okay.
And he keeps that. So
my counter
to that
comment to the what Matthew Henry, I don't know, and I cannot say that whole thing is going that way, the right. Matthew Henry, because I did not read it. I'm just going by what you said.
And
he said it was prudent. You will use the word prudent.
Correct.
I completely disagree with that, because the reason is that because David was living on the violence, and he was going up against somebody. You would say that Matthew Henry is going. This people whom David killed was an enemy of the Jews, Judas.
Judah.
However, he was living on deception, and
true.
He completely forgot about the promise of God.
Okay.
That
are we sure? Are we sure about that?
Yes.
We take that inference from it, and we have to say, yeah, he had trial in faith.
And he said, I will be killed by Saul.
Mm-hmm.
That means God's promise of the king, David becoming king, mm-hmm. went down the drain. Right. Am I making sense?
No.
Okay. All right.
And there are reasons why I can see some things that God makes his plan and guides our steps, and we can mess them up, which means that maybe there's a time that you're going to be king unless you mess up. And we know that because of the life he lived, and he didn't get to build the temple. However, this is the common and most prevalent viewpoint interpretation is a lesson for us, and it's put in the Bible for us to learn, and that's what it's to learn. The application of my view of this is make sure, whatever you do, that you're not relying on your own merits as much as the gifts that God gives you. In that situation, what do we do? Do we rely on the gifts God gave us? And God did give David some gifts in there, and he was protecting his family and all the people that were underneath them. You ask why the people followed him? They saw what God was doing in his life. So if he made the decision to go somewhere, he's their commander, I agree, they would follow him. It's not saying that David was right in everything that he did and how he expressed it. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is a different view on this is saying to me, I need to make sure I'm right with God with every step I take, even if it is. And when you say, what does darkness have to do with light? That is a true statement, and that's true. But do you say that to the same thing where even Jesus sat with the sinners? You can't say that there, because he was doing a work for them and in them, and a message for us. We're in the world, but we're not of the world.
Jesus was not deceiving and killing people. Okay, let's move on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mikey.
Well, I think, you know, more than anything, I think David lost, had faith. He had faith in himself rather than in God. He says, I'm going to get away from here and I'm going to take care of it because God's not taking it. And the reason he didn't build a temple was because he had innocent blood on his hand.
Yeah.
And all this killing, that's the blood that he was talking about. That's why he didn't build, because he had innocent blood in his hand.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that the whole thing, it's just my view
right.
is different and the application is different, but it's all valid. Everything you said, valid. That's why I wanted to wait to the end until you were done, because your applications are good too.
Okay. All right, Philip, application number one. When the devil reminds us about the current circumstance that surrounds us and scare us, let's remember God's faithfulness. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of these very things, he who has begun a good work in you will be completed till the day of Jesus Christ. You guys know this. Second application, let's remember that we have an enemy within ourselves, our sinful nature.
Sinful.
Mm-hmm, our sinful nature. Our sinful nature demands obedience from our spirit. It's a major battle. It's our mind is not a playground, rather it's a battleground.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Constant fight.
Oh, yeah.
Application number three. We need to remember that our sins don't just affect us only. The damage of our sin reaches to the people around us. It's one thing for us to pay for our own consequences. But why do we want to hurt those whom we love because of our own sins? Fourth application. We must deal with the root of sin now or it comes back in greater strength. Let me make an example of David. To cover his own sin, his deception, what did he do? He went into these different villages. He killed them all. To cover his sins. Did he not?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's fast forward David's life that we've been watching. And fast forward when he was cool of the evening breeze. He went on top of his roof. And he saw this woman. Did he not have a woman? He needed the Excel spreadsheet to remember all the names of his woman, right?
We had to schedule weekly.
And then, if that one night stand was not bad enough, because, what do you know? The child is about to come. So to remove that situation, he had a man, husband, get killed. David, many years ago, to cover his deception, he had all these people get killed. Here, to cover his deception with Bathsheba, he had Uriah get killed. Do you see the pattern?
Mm-hmm.
Because David did not deal with this thing, he came up with this thing. Am I making sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
If we don't deal with our sin, eventually it'll come to bite our head. Let's stop and pray.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Remind us before we start to do something stupid that our sin affects not only us, but others as well. And most of all, worst of all, it will bring blasphemy to your name. Remind us, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.